Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Nasta praise Bhadreshu Nicham Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Tamashloke Bhakti Bhavati Naistuki Narayanam Namaskritam Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devam Sarasvatim Vyasam Tutojam Utirache
Bhagavatam, 5th Canto, Chapter 5, Text 8. Lord Rishabhdev's teachings.
Pumsa Pamitam. Pumsa Striya Mituni Bhavam Itam. Tayor Mito Hidaya Grantim Ahu. Tayor Mito Hidaya Grantim Ahu. Ato Griha Shetra Sutapta Vaitir. Ato Griha Shetra Sutapta Vaitir. Janasha Mohoyam Aham Mameti. Janasha Mohoyam Aham Mameti. Pumsa Sriya Mituni.
The attraction between male and female is the basic principle of material existence. On the basis of this misconception, which ties together the hearts of the male and female, one becomes attracted to this body, home, property, children, relatives, and wealth. In this way, one increases life's illusions and thinks in terms of I and mine. Please repeat. The attraction is the Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki. Sex serves as the natural attraction between man and woman. And when they are married, the relationship becomes more involved. Due to the entangling relationship between man and woman, there is a sense of illusion whereby one thinks, this man is my husband, or this woman is my wife. This is called Hridaya Granti, the hard knot in the heart. This knot is very difficult to undo. Even though a man and woman separate, either for the principles of vanashram or simply to get a divorce. In any case, the man always thinks of the woman and the woman always thinks of the man. Thus, a person becomes materially attached to family, property, and children, although all of these are temporary. The possessor unfortunately identifies with his property and wealth. Sometimes, even after renunciation, one becomes attached to a temple or the few things that constitute the property of a sannyasi. But such attachment is not as strong as family attachment. The attachment to the family is the strongest illusion. In the Satya Samhita, it is stated, Brahmaja jagyavakyada muchante sri sahayina bojanti kechanaitesham vishesham chavido vidu. Sometimes it is found among exalted personalities like Lord Brahma that the wife and children are not a cause of bondage. On the contrary, the wife actually helps further spiritual life and liberation. Nonetheless, Most people are bound by the knots of the marital relationships, and consequently, they forget the relationship with Krishna. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Saraswati. Famous verse in our Vaishnava tradition. Because the purpose of this Krishna consciousness movement is to help all souls go back home, back to Godhead. So this might be a bit of a shocking shloka for people in the material world. Because, generally speaking, everyone promotes the relationship between love and beloved, and then the byproduct of such relationship. And then from the byproduct, having children, it expands into property. And house becomes so dear, land becomes so dear, everyone is so much under the infatuation of attachment for property that they go to war, because you said that property is yours and I say this is my property. And actually they fight and both die and the property is still there. So this all starts by the combination of the attachment between man and woman in the form of sex desire. Now, in the Bhagavad Gita, it is stated that the night of all living beings is the waking time of the self-controlled. And the waking time of all living beings is the night of the introspective sage. So what exactly does that mean? Does that mean like we get up at a certain time and then when we know that the materialists are getting up, we're going to go to sleep? Although it's kind of like that since we get up at 4 o'clock in the morning. But it's much more than that. What it is that everything that is being promoted in this world of what we should aspire for, danam, na danam, na janam, na sundaram, right? Danam, janam, sundaram. Everything that is promoted on every advertisement that you see out there, the televisions, the movies, the propaganda, the politics of this material world is the antithesis of what Krishna consciousness is aspiring for. Everything that they want to aspire for is exactly what we want to renounce. That is a trick of Maya. She has tricked the entire world, the entire universe, to say, yes, just see, come enjoy. Here, this is how you can enjoy. You can enjoy this way. You can enjoy that way. You can become a big politician. You can become a very wealthy man. You can become a rock star. And in this way, you will be happy. But the fact of the matter is, no matter how much they aspire for sense gratification, they are never happy. I'm from the United States of America. Or at least this body is from the United States of America. And they have so much money. And they are in so much anxiety. There is more people under psychiatric evaluation in the United States than anywhere in the world. There is more suicides in the United States than anywhere in the world. India has 10 times as many people, and America has 10 times as many suicides. Trinakarta Prabhu Ki. This is my old friend, Trinakarta Prabhu. We've known each other for over 30 years. He was He was in my rival temple. He was a Chicago boy. I was the Detroit boy. We had the clash in book distribution. Detroit usually won. Adibol. Hey, I'm giving the class. Quiet. So these things that people are aspiring for, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has specifically designated these are the things we've got to get rid of. We've got to get rid of the desire for sex. We've got to get rid of the desire to accumulate wealth. We've got to get rid of the desire for followers. Now, to the materialistic man, they think we're insane. As a matter of fact, I was reading a book, Prabhupada was saying, they think we are crazy and we think they are crazy. We think they're crazy that they would invest so much energy to a dream. Because all of this world is simply a daydream. Just like Trinakarta and me, we were like 20 years old, huh? When we joined, look at, he's got gray hair and everything. Notice I don't have the gray hair. But I got the wrinkles. And it's just like a dream. It's like a flash, 30 years. Bam, it's over. Prabhupada once said, you ask an old man how quick is 50 years, and he'll go like that. It's true. It was just a moment ago, Prabhupada was coming to Ratha Yatra in Chicago, right? Prabhupada was speaking. Prabhupada was, you know, going to Sridhar Mayapur. We were having kirtan, we were having Guru Puja, now gone. And like, I'm still thinking it was yesterday, but you know, it was 25 years. So this world is so temporary, and Prabhupada was so emphatic, he was so urgent that you give up this temporary material world because it will never satisfy you. It will never satisfy you. And therefore we see wealthy people, they commit suicide, right? Powerful people, they commit suicide. And even if they don't, they grow old, they get diseased, and they die. And this, each body, you can look around this room, and you can look at every different form. We have white people, brown people, black people, purple people, green people. Some Martians came in, right? So many people, they are the manifestations of their past lifetimes, what they did in their past body. That's why you get a particular nose, eyes, mouth. That's why you have your good and bad quality, your good and bad fortune. Just like I was born in Detroit, Michigan. I was born in a family of 14 children. So, you know, I got hand-me-downs. I was the ninth kid. I never got a new pair of pants. It was my older brother's hand-me-downs. Then there was another devotee who was also born in Detroit, Michigan. And when he was born, he had $40 million in his bank account. That's Ambarish Das. So I'm thinking, you know, hey, I'm a devotee. He's a devotee. He's got all the money. I got no money. Why would that be? Because in his past life, he performed an activity, certain activities, he got that particular fortune. As a matter of fact, I was the first devotee to show Ambarish around the Detroit temple. He reminded me, I spoke to him a few months back when Pragosh was very sick, and he called me up on the phone, and he gave Pragosh $5,000 to get better. And he said, Udayananda, I remember you were the first devotee to take me around and show me all the pictures and tell me what they were. But anyways, so he's a glorious soul, and I was very fortunate to get his association. But, so here's one man. He has these abilities, these fortunes, etc. Prabhupada says, your human body right now, what you are doing with this body is simply preparing your next life. That's all it is. All you're doing in this body now is producing, is forming another body. Whether that body be material or spiritual, your original spiritual body. That is up to you. That's a free will and choice. That is our choice. Now, you might think, I want to choose sense gratification, then also, by the way, I want to be born in the Ford family next life too, right? I want to perform all kinds of sinful activities and also be a Ford. Well, it doesn't work that way. All it works is, Krishna lays down, this here is the instruction manual of the universe. You want to know how the universe works? Then you go to the guy who invented the universe, the creator of the universe. Just like if you want to know how an automobile works, you'd go to Henry Ford, right? He made the, right, the automobile. Right? You want to know about computers, you might talk to Bill Gates. But if you want to know how the whole universe works, you talk to the person who created the universe. Bhoktaram jagatapasam sarva loka maheshwaram suridam sarva bhutanam gyatramam shantam richati. That Krishna says that if you are really, really smart, you'll come to that conclusion. That, he says, the sages, those who are really intelligent. Sages mean, and they are the, as I mentioned in the previously, that the night of all beings is the day time of awakening for the sage. And the time of awakening for all living beings is the nighttime for the introspective sage. So he's doing things differently. He's in a different paradigm. His whole concept is, I'm thinking Shreyas. I'm not thinking Prayas. Shreyas means ultimate gain. Prayas means immediate benefit. Just like one might want to become intoxicated. So he gets a little money. He goes, buys some drugs or buys some alcohol, some nonsense. He gets some gratification. And then the next day he has a hangover. However, that's not where it ends. According to the instruction manual, there's a reaction, a further reaction down the line. As Bob Dylan used to say, there's a hard rain going to fall. That the karma is not just that you get a reaction, maybe a little headache. No, it comes back further down the line without elaborations about intoxication and illicit sex and gambling. If you want to consult the instruction manual, look in the fifth canto. And you'll start thinking, well, maybe. The sages do that. They look and they say, well, let's see. If I engage in intoxication, illicit sex, gambling, meat eating, I have to meet some fellows called the Yamadutas. And these are personalities that are not very friendly. They're very devout to their service. However, Krishna says, Bhoktaram jagyatapasam, if I perform sacrifices, I perform tapasya, austerities, I understand that Krishna, Sarvaloka Maheshwaram, that he is the Lord of all demigods. We are not, sometimes they think, oh, you Hare Krishnas, you believe in many gods. We don't believe in many gods. We believe in one God. God has a lot of friends, but there's only one God. Sarvaloka Maheshwaram. He is the owner of all the demigods. And all the demigods are his devotees. Mahesh, Chandra, Varuna, they're serving him. Krishna's not alone. If there is a kingdom of God, then the king must have his subjects. So any rascal who says, you are polytheistic, that's no. We're monotheistic. Here's God. So the sages see, and Krishna says, if you do that, that I, Sarvaloka Maheshwaram, Suridam Sarvabhutanam, that I am your best friend. Get that straight. I'm your best friend. It isn't the guy down the road. It isn't your boss. It isn't someone who's going to sell you some drugs. That isn't your best friend. Suridam Sarvabhutanam. Krishna says, I'm your best friend. And not only am I your best friend, I'm everyone's best friend. Pragosha was my best friend. We grew up together since we were 7 years old. We were best friends. And I'll tell you, it's hard to keep a best friend. And sometimes they get expensive too. Could you imagine? I mean, trying to be best friends with everyone? Krishna is such a person. And then he says, Yavramam Shantim Richati. Then he says, and then you will attain Shantim. Then you will attain peace. Prabhupada says this is the actual peace formula. The peace formula for this world is to understand Krishna is the object of all our austerities and penances. He's the Lord of all the planets. He's your best friend. Then you will attain peace from all the miseries of material existence. So if anyone hasn't looked around the world or the planet recently, you might have been like in a coma for the last 20 years. The world is in a pretty hellish state of existence. The world is on fire. And we probably only know the tip of the iceberg of how hellish it is. There's not just war in Iraq. There's war in Africa. There's war in South America. There's war, you know, in Israel. It goes on and on and on and on. And with all the collective karma and sinful activities of the people promoting that one should simply aspire for money, wealth, followers, etc., 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 they are making this planet a living hell. And there is no amount of mediation or meetings or think tanks that are going to resolve the hell of this planet without this peace formula. So this verse talks about the attraction of male and female. What that basically is saying, that is the enjoying propensity of the living entity is epitomized in the relationship of sex desire. To think that they are the enjoyer. But that doesn't just, you know, Prabhupada says profit, adoration, and distinction. That is also subtle sex desire. So, what does that mean? That means anytime you try to enjoy your body, which is your choice, but anytime you try to enjoy your body, your eyes, your nose, your ears, you try to enjoy something separate from the pleasure of Krishna, you are engaged in, again, taking another material body. So that's why we are so, fanatical about keeping our senses focused only on the service of the Lord. Because everything else is going to give you misery. And Krishna, he says, one who surrenders unto my abode never takes birth again. So Mahaprabhu specifically mentioned, he only wrote seven shlokas, right? Eight shlokas. So he wrote eight shlokas, and in that he mentions one of the shlokas that give up that, I do not desire to accumulate wealth, nor do I desire beautiful women, nor do I desire any followers of mine. I simply desire your devotional service birth after birth. Actually, you could really just study those eight shlokas and become perfect in Krishna consciousness. Our whole philosophy is actually completely capsulized in those eight shlokas. And the Bhagavad Gita and the Bhagavatam is an expansion of all that is in those eight shlokas. So if you want to know the absolute truth, or do you want to know how to become perfect in this age, if you want to know how to break the maitunya agara, which is the shackles of sex life, or as Prabhupada says here, hridaya granti, the hard knot in the heart, is study those six shlokas of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, in this holy name, you have invested all your transcendental energies. It is incredible to stop and think that when you look around the planet Earth, or if you look in the stars, you see the stars and the moon and the sky and the sun, and you think, this is just incredible. Who has the power to create such multifarious objects that perfectly reproduce and so on and so forth? There's a balance of nature. There's the four seasons. There's the whole cycle of life. It's just incredible. And Krishna says, and all these beautiful, glorious, and wonderful things spring but from a spark of my splendor. This is just a spark. This is nothing compared to what Goloka Vrindavan is. But even Goloka Vrindavan, all the powers of the universe, all the beauty in the spiritual world, in the material world, is found in the holy name of Krishna. That is how astounding it is. The name Krishna has everything, the whole same capacity as Krishna's original form. And we get to associate with that name. We get to get all the power of the universe, beyond the universe, just with his holy name. And I was looking around this morning, and I was seeing everyone chant japa. And I was looking at Radhanath Swami chanting japa. I was looking at Prabhupada chanting japa. And I was thinking, it is astounding. Actually, I looked at the picture of also Rupa Goswami there. And when someone walks into our temple, we say, please chant Hare Krishna. Right? First thing, please chant these holy names. Can you say Hare Krishna? Right? You tell them. We'll say, can you say Krishna? Right? Trinakartha? We'd say, well, can you say Krishna? Okay, can't take the book. Can you say Krishna? Right? We just gave them the whole universe. We gave them the power of the entire universe. If Bill Gates said, I'm going to give everyone $50,000, people would line up from here to Timbuktu, right? But then if you say, well, I will give you the entire universe, no one wants it. But we should know what this is. And the beautiful thing about it is you get it right away. I was just looking. New people coming in. They're chanting Hare Krishna. There's Radhanath Swami, 35 years. He's chanting Hare Krishna. There's the Nitya Siddha Uttama Adhikari Srila Prabhupada. He's chanting Hare Krishna. You get it right from the beginning, and it gets better and better and better. And I can tell you, I can attest to that fact. I've been doing it 32 years. I'm getting better at it. But that is what... that is the only solution for this situation. That is the only solution for the world's problems. That is the methodology by which we please Krishna. Everything we do, just like you're dancing. Dancing is nice, it's fun, it's blissful, right? When you get into a really ecstatic kirtan, you just want to dance. But we don't dance because we want to dance. We dance because Krishna likes us to dance. We dance because, and we're enthusiastic because Krishna wants us to be enthusiastic. Now, the concomitant reaction to doing that is we become ecstatic. But sometimes the pure devotees, they become so ecstatic. I believe it was Daruka, I may be mistaken, was fanning Krishna, and he was doing the service, and all his hairs were standing on end, and tears were shooting from his eyes. He could barely even see the Lord, and he was in so much ecstasy. He was like, oh no, I can't stand this ecstasy because it's getting in the way of my service. So he comes, whether you want it or not, the ecstasy comes, but we don't do it for the ecstasy. We do it because it is pleasing to Srila Prabhupada and Krishna.
So it's, I'm going to leave on one point because Prabhupada speaks very strongly here, how man, women, property, everything that, like, people, well, I don't know exactly if people all want to become like Americans. It seems like they do. It seems like they all want to have, you know, the fancy cars and the houses and all that kind of nonsense. But the truth of the matter is no one actually owns anything in America because everyone's in debt. But that's a whole nother story. It's all owned by the bank. There's about five people that own America. But they put them in big houses, then they make them the slave. They give them a mortgage, and they say, you better work 80 hours a week, or in 2 weeks we're taking your house. But no one knows about that. That's a little dirty secret that they don't want to let out of the bag, but I'll let you know about it. I remember back in 1970, when was it? Six. It was the first time I came to India. I was a brahmachari, just like these beautiful brahmacharis here, who I love very much. And I was preaching. I was on the Radha Damodar party at the time. And we were very enthusiastic boys. Maybe a little too enthusiastic. But I was very, I just wanted to come to India so bad. And I was in Shridhar Mayapur. And then I was going on a train. I can't remember why the circumstance, but I was on a train. And all these businessmen. Now, India was not as, they didn't have as many amenities as they have now. Right, Trinakarta? I mean, like, India's developed materially, which is actually kind of disappointing. But these men were sitting, so I was preaching, Yayata mam prapajante tam sataiva bijami ham, to these men on the train. As you surrender to Krishna, Krishna will reward you. And sarvadama parikyagja mamikam saranam vraja ham tvam sava papebhyo moksha shishami masuj. You just surrender. And he goes, yes, 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 I will. But that's easy for you to say because you already had everything. We don't have anything here. As soon as I get everything, then I will surrender to Krishna. They think it works like that. But actually, from my personal experience, I also got into business, and I also had a family, and I also bought 50 acres of land. And I also have a business, I have employees and so on, and then all of a sudden, you know, the business starts going bad, I get a lawsuit against me. Everything gets taken away. The kids leave Krishna consciousness, right? And everything is distressful. But to walk away from it becomes so much more difficult. How can I do this? How can I just walk away? We walked away, right? Trinakarta, when we were 20 years old, right, Yadu? We walked away from the world. But as you accumulate, it's more and more difficult to walk away. It doesn't become easier. You become contaminated. Your spirit becomes weakened by involvement in sense gratification. So these people, I see, it's very sad. I was very sad on the plane coming here because when I came here the first time in 1976, I would say at least 50% of the people wore dhotis and saris. Now no one wears dhotis and saris. Not only that, but the women were so chaste. They were so chaste, practically, you know, couldn't even see their face. And what to say, you know, interaction with men and women. On the plane over here, they showed one movie. I'm chanting my japa. I look up on the screen. It's an Indian movie. And the dance that was going on was pornographic. And I said, this is India? I said, what? I mean, Prabhupada would have been shocked. There's no question. I immediately got up to him. I said, to two men in front of who I was preaching to earlier, I said, you see what happens when you give up your principles? When India has given up their principles, it becomes like this? The power of India was the chastity of its women. It was probably the greatest. That was the first thing Arjuna said. He said, if we kill these men, then the women won't be protected and they'll become unchaste. Right?
then the whole society will be degraded. We've got to keep our woman chaste. And Prabhupada says in the ninth canto that Sita was so chaste, so submissive to Ram, and Draupadi was so chaste that they had supernatural powers. Prabhupada said, our women should understand how to become empowered supernaturally by following in the footsteps of Sita and Draupadi. That is the empowerment of women. Not that you give a woman a gun, she goes out in the workplace and tries to duke it out with it. That's not making a woman powerful. That's making a woman weak. She's got to go out in the workplace and butt heads with every other monster out there. But simply by her chastity, a woman can become so powerful. Even Bhima Sen, who could kill 10,000 elephants with his bare hands, was afraid to come before Gandhari. Simply, was she working out with weights? Maybe she was doing some martial arts with Trinakarta? No, she was simply chaste. And by that power of her chastity, she could have destroyed all the Pandavas. But now India has made its women prostitutes by falling. Not all the women, not the women here. These are demigoddesses. Actually, in our movement, we don't see ourselves as men and women, actually. We may have functions that a woman does, that a man does, and like that. But this body, I'm a man this body. I may have been a woman my last body. So the women in this body, hey, you're a man in your last body. Don't get so attached to being a woman in this body. Get attached to Krishna. That's what we all have to do. Not be attached to the concept of this body or this person or this position. Simply get attached to being enjoyed by Krishna. And whatever Krishna wants, that's how we go back home, back to Godhead. That's how we break Hridaya Granti, the hard knot in the heart of material existence. So thank you very much. Is there any questions or comments, Prabhuji?
Thank you very much, Prabhuji. I wanted to know that you are saying about this, in India all these things are going on. It has become just like in America as far as Western civilization is concerned.
As far as what?
Western civilization is concerned. Now, we being a devotee, there will be lots of temptation that will be coming in our life to get carried away with those type of nonsense things. And we have to go on seeing that those temptations doesn't overcome our spiritual life. So how to see to it, and what is the tactics that we have to use in our spiritual life to see to it that those temptations doesn't carry it away and we remain fixed up in Krishna consciousness? The second thing which you said is, once you go into the business or it becomes, you get more and more involved and it becomes very difficult to come out of it.
Right.
And once it becomes, you go involved, it becomes very difficult to come out, and you have to come out one day or the other.
It's like I was thinking today, it's like a universal flypaper. You know what flypaper is? Everyone knows what flypaper is, right? You stick, they have this long sheet of paper and it has all this gooey stuff on it. It's very sticky. And you put your hand on it and then you try to pull it off and then this hand gets stuck. And then you put your foot on it and then now your foot's stuck, right? And then your knee gets stuck, right? And you're like...
So what I mean to ask you, Prabhuji, is you have to do your responsibilities in a householder life. But at the same time, you have to see to it that one day or the other, you have to get out from that.
Right.
So what tactics you have to use it constantly to see to it that the right time you get out and see to it that the aim and goal of life has not been compromised?
Very good question. Excellent question. What's the answer? No. The answer is this. It's just as Prabhupada says here, that generally, householder life means those kind of things, right? But when Bhaktivinoda Thakur, right, he was saying, one day I was looking at my household, and all of a sudden, it all became Vrindavan. His wife was cooking for Krishna, his children, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, not a bad kid, was preaching Krishna consciousness. All of a sudden, his whole world became Goloka Vrindavan. So a householder, when he is properly engaged under the instructions of the spiritual master in Krishna, and then the wife who is supporting him, says behind every great man is a great woman, right? She is supporting, doing her duties, not by the dictations of you, but by the dictations of the instruction manual. That's an instruction manual. This tells us how a man should live. This tells you how a woman should live, how a child should live, how a businessman should live. Very specific instructions. Now, we can come up with some new age, politically correct alternative, but I say that's bunk. Krishna's idea says you behave like this, you do like this, you do like this. We must become so expert in Prabhupada's books. Prabhupada said, like a New York lawyer, we should know his books. And everything is there. How a wife is to behave. Why does she behave like that? Because Krishna says if she does that, she goes back to Godhead. She becomes supernaturally empowered. And if you do it, you go back to Godhead. And if the children do properly, they go back to Godhead. So it's not that householder life in and of itself is the dark well of material existence. It's when you think you're the enjoyer, or your wife thinks she's the enjoyer, or your children think they are the enjoyers, then it becomes hell. But when they're all serving Krishna, surrendered to Krishna, you've got the spiritual sky, Prabhuji. If you're doing, and what does that mean to serve Krishna? Krishna says, abandon everything and surrender to me. Well, what does that mean? Okay, I'm a doctor and I got my, well, let me take my medical equipment into Radha Gopinath and put it there in front of him. And right? No, that's not what it means. It means whatever abilities you have and whatever capacity you can assist the preaching of Krishna consciousness, you should do. Prabhupada says, Krishna is not looking what you give. Krishna is looking what you're holding back. Krishna is so incredible, he's got everyone's number. You can't fake out Krishna. Like, I could sit here and maybe fake out a few of you think I'm a devotee. But, you know, Krishna knows where I'm at, right? And what I've got to do. And every single one of us. You know when you're holding back. The thing is, that's just Maya. That's Maya's power. What you're holding back is actually keeping you from going all the way to Goloka Vrindavan. So, you know, it's just like Maharaj Yudhisthira. Maharaj Yudhisthira is Nitya Siddha. He's an eternal associate of Krishna, right? Well, he wasn't living in a grass hut, right? He lived in a palace. He was a multi-trillionaire, right? He made Bill Gates look like a street sweeper. And he could whip Arnold Schwarzenegger with one hand tied behind his back. So he had all those opulence, but he used everything in the service of the Lord. When it came, and in the end, he walked. He walked even from his brothers to demonstrate how, you know, you're going to bow. Prabhupada said, everyone bows to Krishna. You either do it voluntarily or at the time of death, you just kind of, your head falls down, right? But you don't get any benefit if your head falls down because you died. You only get benefit when you voluntarily give that. So for yourself, you know, I don't know you personally, so I couldn't answer you personally, but I can say this, that Rupa Goswami says two most important thing is to find a bona fide spiritual master and then take initiation. And of course, this movement, Prabhupada, is the founder Acharya of our movement. And all of us are connected through Srila Prabhupada. All the gurus that are present here are bringing you to Prabhupada and to Prabhupada's books and so on. So those are all there. And those who are surrendered to Srila Prabhupada, they can tell you exactly what to do. So you find a spiritual master, someone who is surrendered to Prabhupada, and then you take initiation. They'll tell you. What can you do? If one is a big businessman, just like George Harrison, he was one of the Beatles. And one time he came to Prabhupada in London. I lived in London for 3 years. 3 days. It seemed like 3 days. And one time George Harrison came, and he said he was crying. He actually was so miserable. Now try to understand, the Beatles, right, were at one time the most famous people on the planet, right? They were the most famous. They were wealthy, right? You know, fame, etc., etc. Most people will never imagine that kind of notoriety. So he came and said, I want to come and shave my head and just become a brahmachari. And Prabhupada said, no, you go and make songs for Krishna. And then that's when he made that album, Living in the Material World. He wrote that whole album. I got to get out of this place by Lord Sri Krishna's grace is one of the lines, right? So, and many young people in the West actually would hear that his songs, and then somehow or other, oh, you know the Beatles, right? Well, this book's, right? So they would buy the book because George Harrison was into Krishna consciousness. So he used that notoriety to spread Krishna consciousness because it was more effective. So each individual person, now, you can also fool yourself. If you want to cheat yourself, go ahead. If you want to stay in the material world, hey, you know, it's open for everyone. It's such a sad thing, especially in India. Everyone has so much access to Krishna. This is the land of Krishna. And all these nonsense rascals are trying to, you know, wear mini skirts, and the men are trying to follow the West, and they're eating meat. And I mean, I was shocked, actually, coming last night to Bombay and just looking around at the people. And their behavior, how fallen they've become. But then when I got into this temple room, then I knew why I came. This temple room is the prototype for saving the planet. This temple room has got to be duplicated in every town and village on the planet. You've done such a wonderful job here. And this is what happens. Just of course, we can all see this is the seva of Radhanaswami. No doubt about it, right? There's just no doubt about it. His determination, his purity, his surrender to... this is going on. But now it must be duplicated 10 million times. And that's each one of our responsibilities, to be that serious. I hope I haven't strayed from your point.
What? Regarding the first part of the question which I asked you is about that, as you said, that as and when I came last night, right, the girls were having a mini skirts and all these things. And so contaminating.
Right.
So we people have to go out, spend at least 7 to 8 hours and dealing with those type of a people, at the same time maintain the highest standard of Krishna consciousness, which has been said by Prabhupada. It becomes so extremely difficult.
You
have been in America, you have seen those things and you have realized it. This is all nonsense. But we have, like Prabhupada said, old crows and new crows. So it becomes so difficult for us to forego those temptations and maintain our Krishna consciousness to the fastest extent. So how to see to it those temptations that comes in our heart because of this contamination doesn't affect our Krishna consciousness and we remain a smooth and very straightforward and committed to Krishna consciousness.
Therefore, Krishna says, samyag via sito hisa. Via vyasya. Samyag via visa. I can't remember the word. Via. Anyhow, it means properly situated. It means to be in that association. Apichit sudarachara bhajate mam ananya bhakt. Sarve vya samantavya samyag, what is it? Samyag vyas visa. Okay. So the point is that Krishna says, even if one commits the most abominable actions, if he is engaged in devotional service, he is understood to be saintly because he is properly situated. The key is that he's situated in that association. So the material world is contaminating. It's a very contaminated place. So how to avoid that contamination? You must have this sadhu sangha. This is your salvation. This room, these people are your salvation. You want to know how to do it? You hang around with these people. Prabhupada says you want to become a drunk, you associate with a drunk. Right? So you want to become saintly, you associate with these people. That's the way it works. Now, when we go out to the material world, you have to interface. You have to always be keeping in your mind, I'm not taking their association. I may be given mine. I'm going to give them mine. On the way here from New York, I sat next to a professional basketball player who played basketball in Germany, this young black guy. And in the course of the conversation, I found out he makes like $500,000 a year, but he's totally miserable because he's playing in Germany and he's never been away from Brooklyn. So I gave him a book. I gave him, before he left, I said, this is a book that will help you free you from all the anxieties of your life. I first had him give me a little autograph for my sons. And my sons are Narayan and Keshava. And he wrote this to Narayan and Keshava, best of luck, yada, yada. And he said, well, what are these names? I said, oh, those are names of God. And then I went on to explain, I'd been studying the Vedas for 30 years, et cetera. And I said, I have this book here. I want you to read this. I said, just like you were saying, you're in so much anxiety because you're away from home. Yeah. And you're not sure if you're going to stay there. Yeah. And so I went through the whole explanation. And I said, I want to give this as a gift to you. And he was so overwhelmed. They put my name in the book. And, I gave him my address and stuff. And he turned, and his eyes filled up with tears. And he shook my hand. And so I said, well, you give me a call if you want to know more. I said, I've got 80 volumes of these books. So I was sitting next to him. But, I really don't want to talk about professional basketball. But so I wasn't getting his association. I gave him some of my association. And so that's what we need to do. But you can't just be separated from the association of devotees and think you're going to take on the onslaught of this material world. They are pummeling people with sense gratification. And they're finding new and better and more devious ways to completely contaminate your consciousness. So you need this association of devotees. Then when you go out, you can be strong and think in your mind, I'm not getting this sangha. I'm going to give them what Prabhupada gave us. Actually, we are all coming here to get Prabhupada's association. That's it. We're reading Prabhupada's books. We're chanting. We're following Prabhupada's instruction. We're setting up temples the way Prabhupada wanted it set up. We do the morning program. We're just getting Prabhupada's sangha. We're just getting his association. And some people are smarter than other people that know how to completely surrender to Prabhupada. And therefore, they're really getting his association. So when you come in and you get a little bit of that association, the secret of expanding that association is giving that association to others. There was one thing that Prabhupada told me. When I was initiated, he gave me Brahmin initiation in Chicago, 1974. And I got to go before Prabhupada. And Prabhupada showed me, he put my Brahmin stud over my head. I was shivering like a leaf. And then Prabhupada said, come forward. And he took my hand, and I was like being touched by the Mahabhagwat. And he said, put your thumb here. And then he went over Gayatri Mantra. And then he said, so, you are chanting your 16 rounds? I said, yes, Srila Prabhupada. And he said, and you are preaching Krishna consciousness? And I said, yes, Srila Prabhupada. And then he said, always preach Krishna consciousness. What can I say? I don't have a choice. He told me that. Always preach Krishna consciousness. So I'm thinking, when I'm sitting there, I'm going to talk to this guy, because a resident of Goloka Vrindavan told me, always preach Krishna consciousness. And you know what? Every time I surrendered to what he says, I become happy. And every time I've neglected to surrender, I've become miserable. You know, it's like, okay, the fire is hot. Yeah, it's hot. Finally, you figure it out like that. So you go out and get their association, you're killing yourself. But if you give them Prabhupada's association, you will benefit and they will benefit. As Srila Bhakti Siddhanta said, it will be good for you and it will be good for everyone who hears you. And then more and more you will think, am I surrendering? Can I surrender more to Krishna? What can I do more for Krishna? I know I'm holding this back. I know I've got to get this together. I'm going to figure out what I can do more. We can come and ask you, hey, Prabhu, can you give, you know, 10,000 rupees or this? But you know what you can get. And it's not just money. Because Krishna is the richest anyways. What can you do? But that is what you in this body have chosen to have by your past activities. Now give that to Krishna. Give your intelligence to Krishna. Give your enthusiasm to Krishna. Give your love to Krishna. And you will be so benefited. You will never, ever be the loser. Nor will, if you love your family, then surrender to Krishna. That is the greatest thing you can do for your family, for your country, for this planet. You want to do something wonderful for this planet, then surrender. Get everyone to chant the Maha Mantra. Get everyone to take Prabhupada's books. When we go out on book distribution, we're not just making money or some nonsense like that. We are giving them the Acharya. We are giving them Goloka Vrindavan. We have nothing to take. No devotee in here is taking one iota for themselves. We are only interested in giving. We are only interested in saving every living being in this universe. The devotees are the most merciful because they have not come to take. They have come only to give. I went to India in 1977, and I was in Prabhupada's room the 1 month before he left his body. I'll tell you this, and I'm going to end on this note. And Prabhupada was laying in his bed. Now, you have to understand, Srila Prabhupada was perfectly realized. He was perfectly Krishna conscious. He was directly speaking to Krishna. Prabhupada said himself that these books were not written by me. Because one devotee said, Prabhupada, why do you enjoy reading you enjoy reading your own books? He says, I have not written these books. Krishna simply dictated to me. And I wrote it down. So Prabhupada went through so much. He did not have to come to America. He did not have to go to the West. He didn't have to give this to everyone. But he did. Because he loves Krishna, and therefore Prabhupada had the capacity to love all living beings, all human beings. He wasn't just thinking India. He was thinking all living beings. And therefore, he had two heart attacks and going across. And therefore, he had to live in the Bowery. And he had to be attacked by some drug addict. And therefore, he went through so much struggle to build temples, to write books, and so on. And Prabhupada gave and gave and gave and gave. And then there he is in October 1977. And he is laying on his bed. And he was totally emaciated. Not like the beautiful Prabhupada sitting on our Vyasasan. But basically just skin covering his body, his bones. And I walked in there. I walked in and saw Prabhupada with the temple president of Detroit, Govardhan, at the time. And Prabhupada said, "Are you comfortable?" He said, "Have you had enough to eat?" He said, "Is your room all okay? Is it nice? Have you had some prasadam?" And he said, "And how are the devotees in Detroit? Are they happy? Are they taking enough prasadam? Are they happy in their devotional service?" And he just went on and on. It was, "And how is Ambarish? And how is..." Never once, never once did he say, "Look at me. I'm suffering so much." He gave everything to us. He gave it all to everyone in this room. And he was just there. And he was only thinking of others. That's all he thought. That's how he gave. That's how we have to give. That's why we have to assist him in his service. That's what we're here for, to assist him, to have that same compassion, to go out and give this Krishna consciousness to everyone. We give them the holy name, we give them Mahaprasadam, but the most important thing, we must give them Srila Prabhupada's books. Because if we don't give them Prabhupada's books, and the books get forgotten, everything will be lost. We'll forget how to do a temple like this. Never think that if a devotee asks someone, "Please, can you give to Krishna?" that the devotee is benefiting. That person is benefiting. We're benefiting because we're simply the slaves of our guru and God. We know how to access the unlimited opulence of the universe. And that's all by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. So, 100% unalloyed, pure devotee of and we were so fortunate to come into his association. So now we have to also give this fortune to others. Self-realization does not mean selfish realization. It means selfless realization. And no one demonstrated that more than His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Jagat Guru, Srila Prabhupada. But we get every day to associate with Him and then give that association to others. Is that okay? Hare Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada ki. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories.